for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Memorial Weekend, Teaching and Deliverance Seminar, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Bill Smith of Fort Worth, Texas, will be the minister of the morning.
I introduced Brother Bill last night, Brother Bill Smith from Fort Worth, and he's not a newcomer to this ministry. The Lord's been dealing and working with in his life for many years, and he is a byproduct of what some of us know as the latter rain. And so he has had a background in the ministry of the Lord and the move of the Lord, and we appreciate him coming and ministering with us and for us this morning. Bill, come on and teach us.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Glenn. Didn't you enjoy the word last night? Praise the Lord. Beautiful. I tell you, Brother Thompson, he's tough. He tells it just like it is. Hallelujah. So we're so grateful this morning to have this privilege to be able to minister unto you that which the Lord is ministering to us in these days. Truly this morning there has never been a greater day in which you and I now live. You might just say, but Brother Smith, there's a lot of trials, tribulations, persecutions, famines, but that all goes with it. Praise the Lord, it's part of it. So we thank God this morning for His greatness. I was just thinking there, we've been here, I think this is our fourth trip to the camp, and so we just thank the Lord for this precious camp. And the Lord began this morning to remind me in the foundation of this campground. And I like to hear Brother Glenn say, you know, we'll baptize Sunday. You know, I've seen so many people that has come up in the kingdom, and they get to thinking that they no longer need to keep the cardinal doctrines. And they say, well, we no longer need to baptize no more in water because we're already beyond that. Well, then they'll say, well, look, we don't need no more the communion service because we're already beyond that. But I tell you, our cry is this, is don't leave anything undone that we can go on in to the kingdom. You will never exceed or excel beyond the pattern. The pattern, he prayed all night before he went to Gethsemane. He also came to John and he was baptized by Jesus. So we praise the Lord for this foundation. And I was just thinking when he talked about deliverance. Tuesday night, you see, I just returned from Amarillo, Texas. Brother Glenn was talking to me Saturday. He acted like he was disappointed because Sister Smith was not getting to come. But I wish she could, too. But somebody's got to keep the fires burning bright at home because we have a great responsibility in Mexico and across this land. And she travels with me in those times and when I'm not going to be gone from the church over the weekend. But Tuesday night was so beautiful to me. I was ministering in Amarillo, Texas, and I had preached my heart out, and God had moved in such a manner, and I was so grateful for that. Then at the close of the service, here came a young man. I found out later that was 32 years of age. Good-looking young man. I could tell that by the Spirit, you see, when God is giving you an insight by the Spirit, you look into the heart of man and you can tell what's beyond the exterior. So I looked at this man and I saw such problems. He came and he said, I'm an alcoholic and I've been drunk now for I forgot how many days. He said, I haven't drew a sober breath at the age of 32. Tuesday night, I seen God so gloriously set a young man free from alcohol. Brother and sister, this message, as our brother said last night, it's not about a man. And I'm so glad that God's given me the privilege to minister with a man that's tough, that tells it like it is. I have heard so long and until I'm tired of it, such a social gospel for a bunch of sissies that we just blab it and then we grab it. I believe in speaking positive, because some people can't even see a thing that God is doing. They're so negative. I believe in speaking positive, but there is a walk after that it's been spoken. So this man said, I want to be delivered. Oh, as we begin to minister to him, the power of God began to surge through his being, and God set him free. He came over early Wednesday morning where I was staying. And he said, Brother Smith, he said, I'm weak. And he said, I'm going through these DTs. And he said, I'm shaking. He said, I can't find myself. Again Wednesday morning. Brother and sister, I want you to know, as we begin to take hold of him, begin to lay hands upon him, those old DTs had to subside, because the power of God is greater than anything that the enemy tries to hang upon us. So God set him free. Then just not very long ago, I was ministering in a place, and then I'm going to go into the Word, because I want to show you what God has been showing, what God has been doing. And I know that there's trials and there's persecution, because, listen, this earth is in the beginning of sorrows. Come on. It's in the beginning of sorrow. But brother and sister, you're coming to a place that you're going to have joy in the midst of tribulation. So I was preaching along there and pouring my heart out. So God began to move in such a realm of the Spirit, and it seemed like that there was just a cloud of the mist of the kind of glory that had descended and came into the place. All of a sudden, I saw a big old man come walking up toward me, and he had a long beard, and I'm telling you, he looked to me like he had invented tough. I thought, Lord, I'm either going to have to confess your word, or I'm going to have to start running one if he's come to whip me. Pretty soon he got within probably about 10 feet of me. I looked at that big old hunk of man, probably weighed close to 375 pounds. Tears began to stream out of those eyes. He looked at me and he said, Brother Smith, I spent 32 years in prison. He said, Brother Smith, I come to get part of what you got this morning. I want some of what you're offering today. God so gloriously saved that man, and he told the pastor, he said, I don't want to wait for no other day. He said, I want to be baptized between services. And they took him and they baptized him. This is what it's all about. It's what it's all about. Then since we've been here, we've built another church. In Mexico, you know, we have 5 churches down there and a children's home. Right now, we have the children's home. It's closed because the lack of supervision, the lack of funds, and we're reaching more people by preaching the kingdom of God and building churches than we can through the children's home, because it costs so much money to take care of the children, because the government of Mexico makes us do everything superior to the kids that's never enjoyed that we have to do for them. So it takes so much money to keep it going until we want you to be praying about this, and we might sell it if it's the will of God. We're just holding it before the Lord that they may make a clinic out of it. A doctor has been talking to us in Mexico, but we just want the will of God. If God wants us to have a children's home, He will raise the finances for it. But we've built another church, and God has been moving by His Spirit, and we praise the Lord for that. And we're seeing God save, and we're seeing God heal, we're seeing God deliver, and we're seeing people that are moving on into great depths in God. That they're taking dominion and authority all over the witchcraft, the witch doctors and all of these things and moving out into the things of the Lord. So we're just grateful for that. Brother Thompson, is it all right if we erase this on the board, brother? Praise the Lord. Isn't God good to us? You know, I hear people talking about having a hard time. And all of those things. You see, when I was just a baby, like Brother Thompson was talking about last night, you see, I've been such a no account. I went to God and I said, God, I don't care how many days it takes, how many nights it takes, I'm not leaving here until you fix me up. That night, God saved me. God filled me with the Holy Ghost, and I stood and I began to prophesy, and I didn't even know what prophecy was. But from that day on to this day, I can remember when God carried me around on the feather pillow as it was, because I was not processed and trained in God. I was not able or not ready to go through any tribulation or any persecution or anything. But brother and sister, today as we matured more in God, I want you to know I've been having it so good. If it gets any better, I'm going to have to hunt for a higher heaven to get into. Come on. Because I've learned in the midst of the fire to see the glory of God. And brother and sister, if you have it, you're going to praise God for the good and you're going to praise God for the bad. Because God's bringing you into a place in Him. Hallelujah to God that you're going to be an instrument that's not going to back down or break down on any prosecution or any persecution that comes your way. Because you're going to be the instrument that's going to bring deliverance unto mankind. You're going to be the instrument that's going to bring deliverance unto the groaning and travailing creation that's waiting for a manifestation of the sons of God. Now, I want to, Brother Glenn, I'll try to do it this way. How many have seen so many people that they have such a little bitty Jesus, but a great big man or a great big woman? Like a lady called me one time and says, Brother Smith, she said, I'd like to come and minister for you. And I knew her background, and she said, when I minister, there's an angel of the Lord that stands by me. I said, well, that's wonderful and that's great. When the finality of this comes about, we're going to even judge angels. All of these things. But brother and sister, until Jesus Christ is exalted within your life, brother, this gospel of the kingdom is about the King. There is nobody, he that tooteth his horn shall know that his horn is tooted. That's Bill Smith, 1 and 1. So you see, I want to see the Lord Jesus Christ high and lifted up in these temples, and then we're going to see him as he really is. You see, if I ever quit ministering, I'm going to become an artist. All right? I want us to look into the word of the Lord. Turn with me into John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, am I going too fast? Praise the Lord. I hear people still, sister, would you pass me that glass of water? You see, I'm big mouthed and long-winded. Thank you, sister. Jesus said, answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Now, brother and sister, you have to be born to see the kingdom before that you'll know anything about the kingdom. Then we see those that running around in the day that you and I are living in, and because that they see and have a little glimpse of revelation of the kingdom, and then they think that they are already mature. I got good news for you this morning. Revelation is not formation. You are in the process of being in formation of coming in to the kingdom of God. First of all, there has to be a revelation. They talked about latter rain. I would to God that I could have been in the latter rain. But now, I know that that was termed there, and please, if I'm wrong, please don't feel bad at me. Because I will give you the benefit of the doubt of being wrong. I do not believe that that was latter rain. I believe that that was sprinkles or a foretaste of latter rain. I believe that you and I are living in the day when the latter rain is outpouring in the earth today, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month to ripen the crop. Now, the Bible teaches us that first the natural and then the spiritual. Is that correct? All right. My dad was a farmer. And many times my dad would say, son, he said, this rain here is going to bring the corn into tussle. Then he would tell me again, he said, son, if we get another rain, he said, then it will bring the corn into maturity. I believe that latter rain is a pre-harvest rain. I believe that you and I will not doubt that because I've seen great results because I really wasn't in that. I was very small and all of that. But I've seen great results that came out of the latter rain revival, as they termed it. And I praise the Lord for that because the gifts were being restored to the church and all of that. But brother and sister, you are living in one of the greatest hours that's ever been known unto mankind. The things that have been hid from ages and generations is being revealed to you and I today. Now, I want to skip on down to verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, brother and sister, this morning, there's a vast difference between seeing the kingdom and entering the kingdom. Now, we know a lot of people that saw the kingdom and they backed up and went into other secular work. But because that you see it, there's no sign that you have entered it. How many knows in every church and even in this congregation that we have here this morning, there are different levels. There are those that are in different realms of the Spirit. But brother and sister, I pray to God that I myself, as well as Brother Thompson, has done such a beautiful job in bringing this word of the Lord, that we can feed on every level. Every level. Now, so born to see and to enter. Now, I would like for you to go with me now into the book of Exodus chapter 25. And I would like for us to look at a word in starting our lesson this morning. Exodus chapter 25, verse 31. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shalt the candlestick be made. His shaft, his branches, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers shall be all the same. Now, as I have drawn this central shaft here, this is Jesus Christ, our Lord. But now notice something. This all started out with one piece of pure gold. Now, if we were teaching on the tabernacle, we would show you many things that was overlaid with gold, which is the symbol of humanity being overlaid with the divinity of God, which is the gold. But really, we're not after that this morning, but we're after the candlestick. Because I believe that God has shared a word with me that's going to be good for us in up-to-date and present-day truth today. Now, if you'll notice something, that this candlestick is all of one piece of pure gold. How many knows that you and I started out from the top, and we fell all the way to the bottom? Our first parents sold us out in the garden. Because God created man in his likeness and in his image. Now this candlestick was all of one piece of gold, and it came into formation by the beating. Now, brother and sister, today, this is how that you and I are coming into the formation of God, because God's beating the devil out of us. Why do you come to the camp? You come to the camp to get rid of everything that's hindering you from going on into the fullness of God. Brother, I didn't come here all fixed up. I came here needing help from you. And brother, as I receive from you, and as I give unto you, I will receive of you. So what is God doing? God is bringing us into formation. Now, if you were studying in the epistles of Paul, in which we will be going into, how many times did you hear Paul talking about the same thing? We were, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, you that are taking notes, says that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Then, let's notice again, the Bible tells us, and I'm just going to read the scripture. If you don't want to, I'll just give it to you. We'll go over. Our brother gave us the scripture last night. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 and 29. But I'm coming right back to where we're at. To whom he did, no, verse 28, for we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, for whom he did foreknow. Now, predestination is not a dirty word. Alright, to whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, this is what God is doing today, folks. We are coming out of this stem. We're coming out of this lampstand. Hallelujah to God. But God is bringing a formation out of himself. Brother, anything that's in you that's kin to anything else beside God, it will have to be done away with before you enter into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Only that is of God is what he's after. How many knows God's had enough of Bill Smith? Come on. But he's after that of which is of him. Now, let me quote to you a scripture now. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, which holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove which good, acceptable, perfect will of God. I hear people talking about three wills. Brother and sister, there is no three wills. But I want you to know he's talking about the will of God. Brother, you talk about the will of man, that's what God's doing away with right now. It's mine and your wills, that our wills is well to his will, and that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and the door. All right? So now, we see what God is doing. Then again, we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 17. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. All right? Then we see in Hebrews, again, I'll give you the scripture. Did I give you that in the 1 Corinthians 6 and 17? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. Then he said, he that sanctifies and they that are sanctified are one. So what is God doing now? All right, I'm going to bring us this beautiful artwork, and let's see something here. All right, so now we notice again, all of this came out of the same piece. Brother, I want you to know, as I was talking to some people this morning, if God be for you, who can be against you? Brother and sister, for years now, I've already seen that, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And when I begin to see the suffering, the pain, and all of that, and then I see the glory erases everything. Hallelujah. And brother, that's why I never had it so good in all of my life. Because I've learned in the midst of persecution and famine, exalt the Lord. Hallelujah. So, now, came into formation by the beam. So, now, I want you to turn with me into St. John now, chapter 15, and let's look again here at the Word of the Lord. John chapter 15 and verse 1. And this is a very familiar scripture to all of us. But after all, the Word of the Lord must be anyway. I am the true vine. Come on. I am the true vine. I've seen a lot of little Jesuses are running around in the earth. Come on. And brother and sister this morning, how many knows that the Bible says in Revelation that His name is called the Word of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords? Is that correct? All right. How is He going to be King of Kings? He's going to have to be some king over these kings. All right. I hear a lot of people that they're running around and God is so lucky to get them to join His camp. I'm sick and tired of that junk. Brother and sister, I want you to know the greatest day of your life is when you said that eternal yes unto God. And when God came into your life, when He began to form you and fashion you by the pattern. By the pattern. So now, I am the true vine. Sure, there's other vines out there. I had a witch doctor told me in Spanish that he was going to put all of these things off on me. I said, brother, you've got yourself a big problem. I said, tiene un gran problema. He looked at me and he said, no, you don't know. I said, you cannot cross the bloodline. After all, because I have appropriated the blood of Jesus Christ, it's been applied over the doorpost, and you cannot cross over there. And if you get over there, you're going to be saved. Hallelujah! Brother, we don't have to back down, folks. It's time that we stand in the Word of God, stand with our loins and girt about with truth, and show forth the glory of the Son of God that we've come out of darkness into light. Now, I am the true vine. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, I'd like to stop just for 1 second here. In the tabernacle, on the furniture, the boards, everything is given measurements. Is that correct? But there's two pieces of furniture, there is no measure. Brother and sister, there is no measure in the candlestick. There is no measurement in the lever. Praise the Lord. Why? Because the priests were constantly coming and washing. God's not interested this morning in spirit-baptized Christians. Soak in a little bit. I want you to know God's not interested in spirit-baptized Christians that learn how to speak in tongues by somebody helping them. But God is interested and wants spirit-filled Christians. Hallelujah. Then what did He say? Now you are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. The priest, they kept coming to the lever day by day and washing. But brother, day by day in mine and your life, we are being washed by the Word of the Lord. Now, brother and sister, I so appreciated what my brother said last night. I'll tell you, I appreciate meeting Brother Thompson. Talked about the fire. Talked about the dove. You see, I've been in this now 23 years. Not as long as Brother Thompson has. But I'm probably a day or two younger than he is, too, you know. So I was in Athens, Georgia, preaching a meeting. So all of a sudden, somebody knocked on my door in my motel room. I go to the door. He looked at me. He said to me, he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm resting." I said, "I ministered pretty hard today. And I was just sort of resting and meditating in the Lord." He said, "You mean that after that word flowed out of you this morning like that it did, and you get tired?" I said, "Oh, yes, brother, because I haven't arrived yet." He looked at me and he said, "But brother, I don't never get tired. I have been baptized with the baptism of fire." I said, "You have?" I said, "Come right over here. I've got a little chair while you're sitting here. I feel like I want to talk to you just for a moment, and then bends that you come in." So he began to talk to me, and I said, "Brother, oh, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, it had been on its way for some 1,600 years, and I said, Acts 2 said that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, he baptized 120 in the upper room. And I said, brother, did the Spirit set on them as tongues of fire?" He said, "Oh, yes, yes." And he said, "That was the power." I said, "Then I read when Jesus' adoption had come to full recognition in Luke chapter 3 and 22 and 23 there. And I said, do you remember when the Spirit set upon Jesus Christ as a dove?" "Oh, yes, yes, yes." I said, "Do you know why did he set on Jesus as a dove?" He said, "Oh, no." I said, "Now I've got to tell you something. The reason why that you and I are baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire is because God's got to burn the devil out of us. The reason he said on Jesus as a dove, there was nothing to remove. There was nothing to remove." He didn't tarry long. Come on, folks. Brother, outside of God, you've got nothing. And you are nothing outside of God. But I want you to know, I'm just as good as anybody and better than nobody. Hallelujah. But now let's notice something here. Now, you're clean through the Word. Abide in me. God don't pay alimony. Hallelujah. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Now, brother and sister, there's many things. I seen Brother Glenn dealing with a young man that God had wrought such a deliverance in his life and had set him free in the camp. And he had went off and got mixed up. And Brother Glenn told him again, he said, "Am I going to hit you the head with a two before?" I tell him at home when Brother Glenn comes, I said, "He might be little like me, but he carries a big stick." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you see, there's everything that there is trying to sever our relationship from God. We that are on the road so much, it's just like I was sharing last night with a brother. I'm going to try to cut across from 270 and cut back over to my father and mother and see them a couple hours or so before I go back home. Because they feel that I have deserted them. And I said, "Mother, father, I know I've got five sisters. And I praise the Lord for them. But I'm the only boy that you've got." And I said to them, I said, "But mother, in my time of communication with God, I can tear down those kingdoms that rise up against you more than my sister that come and hold your hand." So I was going to cut across back in there to see my mother and father for a little while. But brother, now, I want you to know I'm just as much Smith as I ever will be. Now, my relationship to my mother and father that I love very dearly, I'm just as kin to them as I ever will be. But brother and sister, a lot of people think that their relationship, "Oh, I'm saved, I'm Baptist, I'm Pentecost, I'm thus and so." God's not interested, folks. God's building His church in the top of the mountain, and all nations are flowing into it. So, relationship is not enough, folks. It takes fellowship. Hallelujah. How do you fellowship? Oh, it's like this brother sitting right here and his wife. Didn't she do a beautiful job in leading worship this morning? Oh, I hear a lot of people say, oh, I've got so high in God that I don't even have to pray no more. They don't know the word, do they? Always to pray and not faint. Pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Brother, you'll never enter into the kingdom without prayer, praise, and worship. That's the three ingredients that's going to put you in there. But now let us know, abide in me, and I in you, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now, for without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, how many knows that the husbandman is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth? Do you know what the husbandman is? That's the farmer. Jesus says, I am the husbandman. But you know something? When God is working His life within me and delivering me and setting me free, I want you to know that's the closest time that the husband is to me is trimming off those dead branches. Come on. And everybody said, oh, if you just only knew what I was going through. I don't need to know. There is a dispensational truth. The Bible said that the three Hebrew boys, when they came out of the fire, you couldn't tell they'd ever been in there. Come on. That's where God is bringing. And I know emotional joy is a realm of the Spirit, but brother, I'm talking about a realm of joy that you come into, that you send portions to whom that nothing is prepared. I'm talking about a realm of joy when everything is gone in reverse and you still have the joy of the Lord because you know that God's got everything under control. Hallelujah. Oh, if it just only knew what I was going through. Now, he said, you're clean through the word. If you abide in me now, you can just ask what you will, and it shall be done. Now, brother and sister, this is what has worked in our life. Now, and we praise the Lord for that. But now, I want us to notice again this lampstand here, because we're going into Revelations. I want you to turn with me into Revelations now, chapter 1 and verse 12. And let's look here at the word of the Lord. Oh, praise His wonderful, matchless name. I'm going to start at verse 11, saying, I am Alpha, Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the churches, seven churches which are in Asia, and unto Ephesus, and to Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, and Sardis, and unto the Philadelphia, and to the Laodicea. Now I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, down girt about the paps with a golden girdle, and his head and his hair were white as wool, and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, and if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. I'd like to stop and pause there for just a second. You know, I hear a lot of people that start out in this walk with God and, oh, they're so caught up in themselves. And after all, they're the man of the faith and power for the hour. They're so proud of their self and everything. Then the Lord talks to them and tells them this. Oh, I love thee and I'm so proud of the job that you're getting done. I don't know, Brother Glenn. I was some about 10 years ago, maybe a little more than that. I was really going through a time. My oldest daughter was marrying a man, and whom I am 19 years older than her. My wife is 17 years older than her. So we knew that this could not be the will of God, because when God allows you to see by the Spirit, you see over the hill and around the curve. So I began to talk to her, and she come back to me and she says, "But Daddy," said, "God blessed Ishmael because he was Abraham's seed." I said, "Yes, that's correct." But I said, "When the master went out there, he said he's got a son and he's giving him all that he has." Talking about Isaac. So I was really going through a death. I was laying before the altar in the church, crying out to God, weeping and praying and fasting and seeking God. So God spoke to me and he said, "Son, in the midst of this death, I will bring forth life." So then I began to cry out to God and I began to pray out to God. And I was expecting God then to pat me on the back, you know, like he does some of these here holy kids. All of a sudden, Brother Glenn had burst forward to me. He said, "Son, get up and get with it. There is a dispensation of the gospel that's laid to your charge. Now get up and get with it." Hallelujah to our God. He said, "I turned to hear the voice that spake with me. And brother and sister, there's a groaning and travailing creation out there that's waiting for you and I, that you and I have a meat that they know nothing of." Yes, you have a meat that they know nothing of. So then, God began to speak and give direction. Now I want us to go a little further here. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Now, I'd like to stop here for just a moment and relate something to you. Now, I happen to know that all of these pictures that the painter has painted of the face of Jesus, that is just not what he looked like. Come on. Man came to me, and oh, he was so rejoicing. He said, "I was driving in the truck and going down the road. I looked out to my left-hand side, and I saw Jesus in that field, standing on the cross." Come on. I said to him, I said, "Brother, God appears to you in the state of being that you are in and in the level that you are in." And you know what God was saying to him? "Hey, boy, you need the cross work of the Holy Spirit working in your life." And then I hear him, people say, he stand before my bed and he's smiling at me because he's so thrilled in what I've done. That is for that you seem out of your own self. Brother, let me tell you something. The times that I have saw God, I've never saw his face. And the light was so strong that these little old eyes right here could not behold to look into that light. Because it was so superior and so strong that I could not behold. And I would want to try to look, and my eyes could not behold because they were not strong enough. I want you to know why. Because God says, "I want to reveal myself unto you." Hallelujah. But you see, so many times. Now, he's walking around in the midst. Now, then notice what he said. "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, for I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." Now, I want to tell you something. You have been linked up with the eternal God. God is allowing you to see what has already passed on by. God is allowing you to see what is in present now. And God is allowing you to see what's in the future. Would it be too heavy for you that I would prophesy that I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Russia is not in World War III by next year? You said, "Is that the Battle of Armageddon?" No. No. But I would not be a bit surprised because in 100 years, have you ever seen a Russian that could smile before? Gorbachev, come on, is that his name? Or Gorbachev, something though like that. He is a mighty prince. He didn't come from the background that the rest of them came from, did he? What does your Bible say that this mighty prince? Oh, he can just look at us and he can smile. And all the time, he's trying to stick a knife within us. But brother, his kingdom is coming down and Russia will have revival. Russia will have revival. Because this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all of the world. You think that little old iron curtain over is going to keep the gospel out? No way. No way. But now let's notice as we go on a little further here. The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks and the 7 stars are the angels, are ministries. Now, you cannot separate many times seraphims, cherubims, and ministers, angels, because many times it's interpreted as the same. Now, ministers are the 7 churches and the 7 candlesticks, which are the 7 churches. Now, I want us to notice something. How many knows now that 6 is the day of man? 6 is the number of man. How many branches do we have? The Bible said that in Exodus 25, there's 3 on either side. All right. I remember, you see, the Bible is so in uniform from Genesis to Revelation. And the kingdom is from Genesis unto Revelation. All right. Now, notice John, the woman at the well that day. Jesus came to draw water. And you see, we are not living in an accident. We're not an accident looking for a place to happen. We are everyone filling a divine appointment. My sister and brothers that sang last night, the first time that I met them. Many of you, my first time. And I met Brother Thompson. But it's not an accident. It's a divine appointment of God. So the woman came to the well at the right time. The disciples had gone to buy meat into the city. So she comes to draw water. Jesus began to talk to her. You know the story. But I've got to get this down because it's already 11:20. And I hadn't got to my scripture yet. So Jesus turns and looks at her. And I want to tell you something, folks. God is raising up men and women today that are seers. A lady came to me the other day, and she said, I got to talk to you. An elderly lady. And I said, first of all, I want to tell you what's going on so that you'll know what I got from you from God. She said, I haven't talked to nobody. So I sat there and I began to relate to her time and time again what had been taking place. She broke down and she began to weep. Why? Because I am linked with God that knows everything. Hallelujah. And if I'm in position, He can tell me what's going on. Hallelujah. So then the woman, she came there at the right time. Jesus talked to her for a little while. Of course, she wanted to discuss religion, you know. We all, you know, we got this baptism this way and this and that. But Jesus looked at her and He said, woman, you had 5 husbands. And the one that you're living with now is not your husband. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Is that right? The one that you're living with now is the 6th. He said, but go call him. But brother, I want you to know in those 6 husbands that she had, I want you to know there had been no union and the need was never met within her life. But brother, again, we got the 6,000 years. As my brother was talking about last night, we are entering into the 3rd day that God is raising us up, that we're going to live in His sight. But, she said, Yeah. Oh, I perceive that you're a prophet and all of these things. But, brother, I want you to know she'd had six, but she met the seventh one. Hallelujah to God. And that seventh one told her everything. And the Bible says she went into the city and she told the city. She brought revival unto that city. Come see a man. Not the man of the faith of the power and the hour. Oh, I've had five husbands and I'm living with one now. And he said, he saved me. He said, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. No, you come see a man that told me everything. She met the seventh man. And brother, that seventh man was the Lord of glory. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, and the door. And brother and sister, today it's time that you and I have relationship and fellowship with that seventh man, the Lord God. Hallelujah. And then again, I want us to notice something. Remember how that he was alone. By itself. Now, turn with me back into St. John chapter 1. Now, and let's look here at the Word. St. John chapter 1. Oh, praise be unto our God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you mean this is the way that it was? How many knows that there were a Christ before there was ever a Jesus? Born at Bethlehem manger. I want you to know that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, Revelation 13, verse 8, that he was slain before the foundation of the world. Before God said, let there be light, he was already slain in the foreknowledge of our God. And brother, redemption is not an afterthought. Redemption is part of the creation of God. Hallelujah. And then, what does he say? The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, notice something. The light now. How do we receive our light? From the candlestick. Now turn with me into the book of Leviticus. I just knew last night that my brother was going to get in there where I was going. And he stopped in the 23rd chapter of the book of Leviticus. But another thing, if I was to follow around Brother Thompson for a while, you know what I would hear? What God is saying to me. When you're moving with God and in the flow with God, I want you to know what God's doing on the West Coast. He's doing it on the East Coast. He's doing it in the four corners of the earth. God is not doing it in a corner. God's not bound to one man. God's not bound to one system. God is given unto the world that mankind can come unto him. Hallelujah. Then let's notice what he says. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 1 through 4. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure olive oil beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. Without the veil of the testimony, in the tabernacle of the congregation, shall Aaron order it from the evening until the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute even in your generation. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before him, before the Lord, continually. Now, I'm going to do some more pretty artwork again. Now, we're going to say that this is the lamp. Now, all of the oil, which is a type of the Spirit, flows from God into the lamp. Now, I know that there are the bowls and there's the knobs And all of that is that on it. But you see, again, this is the glory of the Father, because what did God put the glory upon His creation? All of the gifts is given to the body. The gifts are on the branches. It's not on the trunk, but it is the glory of the trunk, because it was God in the banana. So then to beat the pure olive oil, to keep the lamp burning continually. Now, brother, a lot of times, this year, see that beautiful wick and this beautiful lamp? Now, how many know that the oil is flowing into the lamp by the Spirit, because the oil is the type of the Holy Spirit flowing into the lamp? How many know that it's not the wick that's burning? It's only the oil that's flowing into the wick. Hello, brother wick. Hello, brother wick. You are the channel that the oil flows in to bring light to humanity. You didn't know this here was a wick church. Hello, brother wick. Then again, I know that you had never been over the United States where that I've ministered, where that I grew up. You see, my problem of it is, Brother Thompson, I was born in Oklahoma, raised in California, and lived in Texas. You had never heard no dry wick testimony, have you? How about a dry wick message? Come on. When there's no oil flowing into it. Brother, 2 minutes is already too long. Hallelujah. A dry wick message is no life. Because of the anointing, the yokes are destroyed. Hallelujah. It's not by gimmicks. It's by the Spirit of the living God that's flowing into the wick. Well, now, so God said He had come into this formation by beating. Brother, I repeat again, He's going to beat the devil out of every one of us. Until I agree with Brother Thompson, because Brother Thompson said, I'm reaching for perfection. And I know that they tell you, you can't attain to it. But Psalms 138 verse 8 said, He will perfect that which concerneth me. Come on. He will perfect that which concerneth me. You know why? Because I'm going to be like the woman that was an unjust judge. And the word goes on here. I'll have to avenge her because she wearied me by continually coming to me. Brother, I'm going to walk this out and I'll continue to come to Him and fall before Him and say, God, it's me. I need a washing. I need a purifying. I need a purging because I want to come into Your likeness. And then what does He do? He begins to take those Holy Ghost tongs and He begins to trim that wick. And you know what we do? Can I give you a crude saying? We squeal like an Arkansas pig hung under a fence. And you know what every one of us has done? We say, God, You bind us to that altar regardless of what we say or squeal or what we do. And He's only carrying out our word. There's been a many times I say, God, regardless of how much I scream or cry or moan or complain, don't pay no attention to me. God, bring me forth in Your likeness and Your image. Bind me to that altar till You work Your life in me. Hallelujah. Then I've seen a lot of people, they've tried to baptize you into it. Come on. They've even sold formulas that you could even buy and try to get into it. But brother, there's no hot dog hamburger revelation getting you into it. It's going to take an in working of the Spirit of the living God that's going to work it within you. Hallelujah. By the Spirit of God. Sure, He comes. And oh, about that time, He begins to clean this wick. God never does use a fire extinguisher. Come on. When Peter's wick was flickering that day, when he was about to go under, God didn't reach down there and suffocate or extinguish the fire. He said, just come on the word. He reached down there and He lifted Peter out. Brother and sister, I declare unto you, when God's trimming our wick, He's the closest to it. I learned a long time ago, I came from the old school when mother and dad used a razor strap. And see, by raised with all of those girls and me the only boy, they made me mean. So I wound up getting a lot of whippings. Them girls could tell on me quicker than anybody could tell. So by getting all of those whippings, I learned a secret. I learned to get up real close to my mother and dad while they were whipping up on me. And then they couldn't reach out there and pop me. So now when God's trimming me, he's trimming my wig, I say, God, let me get in your arms. Hallelujah, that you can trim me and make me like you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's not going to finish. I want to say, I so appreciate our brother last night talking about our walk with God. People think that they can get out into the kingdom. They said, oh, I've come out from under bondage. You never come out from under the laws of God. Come on. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. But brother, you are not loose. Come on. You're free, but you're not loose. Come on, folks. And so this is where we're at today. But brother and sister, what's God doing? God's training the army. Hallelujah, that's going to run through this earth, that's not going to break rank, thrust one another. But brother, we're going to walk in one mind, one accord, walking in union by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And what's taking place? Sure. Like a pastor told me one time, when we bought the church from them, they was of their denomination. And after all, you see, I grew up in that denomination. And I said, look, if that's all there is to it, I quit. So he told me, and I said, we're going to have prayer meeting. He looked at me and he said, I could see where you'd have to pray. I said, oh, yes, I need to pray. I need to come in presence of God so he can change my life. If I will walk in the Spirit, then I shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. But then notice what he said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. Cleanses us. Brother, we're walking out of our hang-ups today. We're walking out of our bondage as we come in meetings like this, that the hands of God's people are liberating us and setting us free from the bondage of corruption that's within us. Don't you come up no holy Joe to me and tell me that, oh, I'm without spot or wrinkle. You just got through telling me a lie. Hallelujah. But brother, now, since my brother, I didn't know where to drop this one on you or not, but my brother, he dropped you a hint of it last night. So I'm just going to take it and I'm just going to drop it all down on you. Hallelujah. Fasten your seatbelts. We're fixing to change altitude. You are not born again. You don't throw a book at me? Huh? You have been begotten of God. Amen. Come on. Now. You're thinking now, aren't you? But brother, you are in process now of being born of God. He that is born of God cannot sin because the seed remaineth in him. Brother, you're saved and being saved and you're going to say, you're coming through a body salvation, hallelujah to God, that you're going to be born of God. Sure, you've been begotten. Right now, after 23 years, I'm still being born of God. God's taken everything of that old sinned nature out of me. You see, we can get real tough. And we can go down and get these beer joints and we can break all that they got in there as long as we can stay. But that ain't going to do a bit of good. All they got to do is make one phone call to the factory and get another load. We got to deal with the factory of it. Jesus Christ himself, John came on the scene that day. You remember the lambs were offered up year by year just to cover the sins? But then one day, they were only covered. But one day, John stood there and he said, behold the Lamb of God that taken away the sins of the world. They're no longer covered, but they're taken away. Hallelujah. That's where we're coming to today, folks. But where is it? By abiding within that trunk of that eternal God. Hallelujah. That we'll see these branches that's coming out. Hallelujah. With the bows, the knots, and brother, he's trimming us day by day. Now, I'd like to say something again to us now. All of this was of the same material. How many times do you see the Apostle Paul talking about the same thing? We that do these things, what? Are changed into the same realm of glory. Huh? Because why? Because you're so great? No, it's because the life is coming from here. And it's flowing out into here. And brother and sister, today, it's time for a change in this move of God. It's time for us to move into another dimension. Some of the greatest men of the move of God that I've known for all of these years, I've seen them, and the many of them are becoming stalled out. And they're becoming stale in this day. But brother, this is a time when the light of God must burn brighter and brighter and brighter. What did he say he trimmed that wick for? He trimmed that wick so that that light can burn brighter and brighter and brighter. Now, let's notice as we go on a little further here. Now, remember, this candlestick came into formation, not inside the holy place. Come on. Come on. Brother and sister, I've had many people since I've been pastoring for 17 years now. And you see, I already started out with problems, but problems don't mean nothing to me. But there's been a few times, see, when my girls was growing up, you see, I got two girls. And so somebody come, or they call, and they got a problem. Yeah. So I'd say, Lord, why don't you give us people that just ready to just move on into the kingdom? About that time, the Lord slapped me upside the head and he says, son, they that are whole need not a physician. Huh? So he said, they need a physician. So then maybe I'll make some comments, you know, around the house there. And I said, well, how come all the problems have come over? And my girl, Stephanie Shelley, she'll be ministering while we're going into the Carolinas, my baby daughter. She said, but Daddy, you said to God to make you a problem solver, and that's what he's doing. Come on. Hallelujah. God making you a problem solver. What is God doing? But you see, that candlestick was not formed in formation in the holy place. Brother, it was formed outside of the camp. You turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21, and brother, it tells me and you that our master, the Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered without the gate of Jerusalem. Brother, when you and I are in here walking this deep in faith, we don't got no problems. But brother, it's when we step outside. Remember, the banana never gets peeled till it gets pulled off from the stalk. Come on! The devil can't peel you if you're connected to the stalk! The boat can't sink if he's in there with you! Hallelujah! Oh, you just don't know what I'm going through. I'm sorry. I ain't got time to listen. I'm sorry. Because that glory already erased all of that. Why? Because God chose me in this here army, hallelujah, to show forth the presence of God that we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, notice again as we look into them, this hard and wearisome process of beating was done outside. And this is something, again, that God is doing in this relationship and fellowship with him. I know people that they've got everything all together, and they try to pull a holy Joe on you. And all the time when you're seen by the eyes of the Spirit, you're going right down on the inside and seeing who really lives there. What are you talking about, Brother Smith? You see, one of you that come, that all that we preach in the realm of faith and everything, and me and my wife is right in the midst of a big fight. Oh, you ring my doorbell, we run to the doorbell. Oh, God bless you, Brother Glenn. I'm glad that you and Irma came to see me. You see, they came and spent a night with me in my home. Of course, they've been to our church convention. And I tell you, I was so grateful when Brother Glenn stepped out and moved in the ministry. Brother Glenn doesn't know this, but then I'll just stop by and just tell you this on the way. My sister, Brother Glenn, was the one that had went through everything imaginable, because I told her, I said, look, you know the way. And you know what you've got to do, so you have to get up and get with it. So she's been just playing around and flirting around with the world and being so involved and living nonchalant until God jerked her off from that job. I've got to get more thousands of dollars. I've got to get more CDs. I've got to get this invested, and I've got to get more money. All of that. Brother Glenn, that perhaps will remember her, she came and she sat there on that front bench as we began to minister. And she looked sad. You see, I could tell her that that's my sister. That's my sister that's older than I. But Brother Glenn walked over there and laid that hand upon her, and he began to rebuke that very thing. And brother, from that frown, there was a smile that came on her face. Huh? Come on, folks. Brother, things change when we come into the presence. All right, so now, you come in. Hello, Brother Glenn. It's so good to you. Oh, me and my wife were so in love. Come here, honey. Let me just love you just a little bit. And then when Brother Glenn and Irma leave, I look over to her. Let me and you get back to where we was a while ago and let's finish this. Come on. Come on. Brother, this is not something that we put on and we take off. This becomes a lifestyle. Hallelujah to God. If we're in the Mojave Desert or if we're in Arkansas, it's the same because it's a lifestyle. If we have a quarrel, we look at one another immediately and say, God, forgive me, I'm at fault. Come on, we hate to say now we've made a mistake. Come on. Oh, I can't cry. I'm too big to cry. You're not a man then. You're not a woman if you can't ask God to forgive you and your companion to forgive you. Brother, I want to get everything out of the way that I can walk in union with God, that I can hear God relating Himself to me. Hallelujah. I'm talking about a lifestyle. Not something that we just put on or take off. But brother, that we're walking in this union, that God's life is flowing within us. You see, I came from the denomination, see, that we only had religion when we was in church. And they taught us backslidden so much till we all practiced it. Every one of us practiced it. But brother, I want you to know, 23 years ago, God said, look, son, now I've got a hook in your jaw now, and you're mine. And you're mine. I was standing at my place of business before I went full-time in the ministry. And I was out there in my business, and a man came in to get some work done on his automobile. Because I had a state inspection station of the state of Texas, and we bought, sold car repair shop. We did it all. One day this man came in there after I'd been saved just probably about a week or so. Because I said, God, I've run my boat. I've raced my cars in Arkansas. Lord, I've did everything there is trying to find peace and joy. I spent thousands of dollars trying to find rest, trying to find peace. And I said, God, I'm not leaving here until you fix me up. So that man came in there and God spoke to me there. I said, this can't be God. He only talks to us at church. Hello there. Brother, I'm talking about a lifestyle. If you're in the department store, wherever you're at, God can relate Himself to you. Because while you walk in a union and relationship with Him, that God speaks to you. God spoke to me. He said, he's going to die with a heart attack. I said to myself, my God, he looks awful healthy to me. After all, he don't speak to us on the job. He only in the church. Brother, I'm always sorry, and I'm sorry today because I did not know better. But that night, that man had a heart attack, and we kept the car over, and when I got to the shop, they lifted up the doors to open up the shop. He was standing there. He said, I came after my dad's car, and I made it just as soon as possible because my dad died with a heart attack last night. If I had only, right then and there, you said, what if he's Catholic? I don't care if you're Catholic, you still need to be filled with the Spirit. I don't care what your denomination is. They look at me and say, what's your denomination? I'm sorry, I don't have one. Who's your head? Jesus Christ the Lord. Who's your boss? Jesus Christ the Lord. Who's your mediator? He's the only mediator between God and man. And I was so sorry that I did not ask that man, how is your relationship with God? But brother, today, I looked at this man the other night, and God said he'd been drunk for days. He said, I want you to come against that alcoholic spirit that's within him right now. I looked at him, and I said, I come against that alcoholic spirit. He knew that I didn't know him, and he knew he didn't know me. About that time, he just melted like a snowball. Brother, it's time that you and I get down to the root of the problem. We've been playing church long enough, folks. It's time for we come out, hallelujah, into what God is saying and do, and call it by name and get rid of it. If it's a homosexual spirit, get rid of it. If it's a lesbian spirit, get rid of it. You said the people that's going to know. Oh, brother, God's going to damn those people with those long tongues that's going to be talking. Look at them, look at them. Uh-uh, folks. That's not God, folks. They're in bad shape as you are. Hallelujah. But brothers, we're getting everything in this right perspective. Because why? God is trimming these wicks that this light can shine brighter. Now, you all know that this candlestick is in the holy place. And in the holy place, there is the altar of incense. And then there is the showbread that's in the same thing. In the holy place. All right? But in the light of all of these lamps that's upon all six of these, all work is done in the light of that light in that holy place from this candlestick. And brother and sister, all of the work that's being accomplished in God is done in the light of God today, not in mind your own flickering and doing of our own will, where that we miserably fail. But it's done in the light of God. Matthew 5:14 says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set upon the hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men take them and light them and put them under a bushel, but put it on a candlestick. What is the candlestick? It's the Lord Himself. But He's walking down through the churches today to bring forth Him an army that's going to be called by His name. If I had time to tell you, I'd take you into the book of Acts and I'd show you where there are many people that are saved, but then there is a group that He said, I call out for my name's sake. Brother, there are those that are many called, but there are few that are chosen that are called out for His name's sake. And brother and sister, I feel certain this morning that many of you have been called out of the cold out for His name's sake. Hallelujah. Brother and sister, how many of you are tired of the condition that you've been in? Brother and sister, I'm tired of the place that I've been in. I'm tired of the reproach that's been brought against the church that our brothers talked to us last night about. I get so mad until I'll turn on the radio and I'll hear one of those blabbit and grabbit preachers. And I thought, my God, I'll tell you, there's a warring spirit starts saying, hold me. I'll say, I can get that thing off in a hurry. Come on. Because that is not the way. But you know what? Many people are flocking after that. But brother, you're going to have to minister them and bring them up out of the wilderness so you get your relationship with God now, that you will bring them out of the wilderness now. Hallelujah. But you see, He's trimming us daily, and the oil is flowing in us daily. Because why? We're living. All of our life is coming out of this center lampstand, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. We live by the Word of God that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then, let's notice again, the candlestick made for the purpose of bearing the light. God says in Malachi, He said, the day come when I will send my messenger. Now, brother and sister, it's time that the light of God to shine bright. Over some of these men-made walls and denominations and systems that is set up in the earth, that men are empty. It has never been God's plan. And this is something, you know, in 1904, when the Spirit was pulled out in California, in Azusa Strait. Then I understand it was also in St. Louis, Missouri. Then I understood that it was down in Houston, Texas. And then I heard many of them say, well, look, men up in Detroit. And then they said, if you weren't here, you missed it. You wasn't in on it. And what happened? You know what a denomination is? And please don't get no books if you get one. I moved up in a hurry. You know what denomination is? Is the last revival that was upon the earth. I didn't say present day truly. I said it's the last revival. And what did they do? They built a wall around it and said, this is ours. But brother and sister, when you come to the place that he's going to be the wall. You remember Zechariah when the young man was running to measure the wall? He said, oh, stop him, stop him. Don't let him go because I'm going to be the wall. And I'm going to be round about them afar and in the midst of them. So, brother and sister, today, you keep your relationship unto that lampstand that you're burning continually, because if it's not already taking place, you're living in the days when it's taking place, that people are going to be the path to your door for deliverance and to be set free. And brother and sister, God's sick and tired of empty hands going on empty heads. Come on. God said, I'm going to remove the reproach away from my church. And brother, how's he going to do? He's going to fill the church with his glory. When we read Ephesians 5, 26 and 7, what is that? That glorious church without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing? Or any wrinkle? It's the glory of God. It's the glory of God. But see, this is what's taking place today. So folks, I'm talking to many of you that are not in churches, but you have prayer groups, because there's not a move of God church around your area. But brother and sister, don't you sit around and bundle yourself up into a handful of sympathy and say, I feel sorry for me because I have no place to go. You rise up and be a revival in the area where you're at. Bible said that he spared not his own son. Where did you ever get that he was going to spare you? Come on. He never spared his own son. And he's not going to spare you. But you're coming into formation by the beating, by the word of God, that incorruptible seed that's come within you and I that's going to live and abide forever. Let's stand together. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we're so grateful this morning for your precious word. Father, we know that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Father, we know that the entrance of your word give us light and give us understanding, Lord. Father, these ears that has heard the word this morning. God, I know that we were giving the word because you burned into my spirit while I was in my room this morning, Lord. Father, that these ears to be unstopped, Lord, that their spiritual ear to lay hold upon the word of God. And Father, in every hang-up that they're in every bondage that they're in today, Lord, Father God, that they will walk out of it before they even leave this camp. Lord, we know today can be the first day of beginning in their life, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.